Okay, Luke 6, verse 38. We spent a whole bunch of time on one word, give, didomai. We found out that it's not in the nature. The give means the thing which something does by nature. A fig tree gives figs. An orange tree gives oranges. Christ gives without regard to the effect thereof. It's always for someone else's benefit. If we give, we have no investment in the outcome. We give. But it's really Christ in us. All right. Anybody have any thoughts about giving? What we discussed the last couple days?
Yeah, it kills you. You can't hear this stuff and live because you can't do it. You can say, oh, I'm going to do it, but there's nothing in your nature that allows it.
Then what happens?
Cross, you repent.
You abandon yourself.
And then if it happens, it happens. And it's probably you won't notice till after it's happened. You said, hey, look, I gave.
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Good is that word kalos, which we've talked about many times. It means choice, surpassing, precious, praiseworthy. Good measure. Measure is metron. It's a vessel for determining the quality of a thing, for a standard of judgment. Well, let's just read it and then I'll go back over it.
It's like, this is interesting because we just talk about you can't do it, and then it says do it. Where are we, 6:30?
Yeah. 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And then he spake a parable. But measure, this thing about measure is important because it defines the standard for whatever it is that we're about. Let's go to 2 Corinthians a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think. It's in chapter 2. Verse 14. Everybody there? Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death, unto death. To the other the savor of life, unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now that in itself is so mind-bending, it hurts. Why is this true? Why are you always a sweet savor unto God, in them that are saved and in them that perish? To the one the savor of death unto death, the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient? What does that mean?
Savor. There's nothing we can do that's outside his determined will, accomplishing his purpose.
Remember the word, when it's a sweet savor is a phrase that's always used with the burnt offering and the peace offering. Remember?
Yeah.
It's a sweet savor unto God. This then assumes that a whole bunch of stuff is done beforehand. Remember when you couldn't even enter into the door of the temple or the tabernacle in the wilderness until, number one, you had the waters of purification had cleansed you from the touching of the dead body, from leprosy, from all these things. Number two is it had to be the trespass offering had to be made. Number three, the sin offering had to be made. Then and only then could you go through the door. When you got into the door is the brazen altar. Therein is where the meal offering, the peace offering, the other offering, the other sweet. No, all three of them are sweet savor offerings. And so this assumes that you have, that the uncleanness has been dealt with in you, that you have been washed from touching the dead body, you have been washed from the waters of jealousy, you have made the trespass offering, you have made the sin offering, then you are a sweet savor. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that if there's no altar? What do you do? Huh?
You see.
Well, you abandon yourself. 100% abandonment of self. Because if you go back into self, then you have to go back outside and do the waters again with the ashes of the red heifer because you've touched a dead body. You understand what that means? What? You're doing something, Mr. Chiz. Are you okay? Is your headache gone? All right.
Can you abandon truly without understanding?
Of course.
I seem to be related because
what do you mean? Do you abandon without understanding what you're abandoning? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, it's
like you kind of have to analyze the darkness a little bit.
Hit that in the mouth, Pete.
Yeah. Whack.
Understanding doesn't mean analyzing the
darkness.
It means understanding.
You can't truly repent until you know that Jesus Christ is in you. That's the only understanding. If you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, then abandonment is as natural as breathing. Repentance is as natural as breathing. Repentance and abandonment are the same thing. But if you return daily to the old self in order to do your shtick, you're constantly making the Holy Spirit your enemy, which isn't smart. So you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's why it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it says that, you know, you are the light of the world, but if the light that is, you know, if your eye be double, even the light that's in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? So there's got to be a place, a hallmark, in which you say, I see that I see, I know that I know, this body and this mind of mine has no purpose, no function. It is not worthy of being even acknowledged in any way. The emotions that I have have no meaning anymore. I have abandoned myself, and I simply live in that moment without regard. I be instead of trying to be. And that's all that this is about. But if you keep going back to Babylon for cause and effect, you know, then you try to go back and forth, pretty soon that glass is that you see the when you see through the glass, now you see through the glass totally darkly, because you've what everything you've done to try to help yourself is a, it's your own redemption. And so the silver, it gets thick and thick and thick on the mirror, and so all you see is you. What does this mean to me? What can I do about this? What do I do? And I is always the predicate of every thought, every action, because you're still trying to redeem yourself. And the God of this world will blind you completely. What?
Well, all that being said, and the kind of the key thing that you hit me on was it's Christ in you that actually abandons. Otherwise, you have some righteousness in your mind, maybe, because, well, I've abandoned. And that's crap. So there's got to be some real place within us that this abandonment is not just something man hears and tries to pull off and satisfy himself.
No, I mean, you can't do it.
Understanding to it, so it's not a...
No, I mean, it can't be done unless you know you're dead.
Yeah.
Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. Those are two summary commands. The word is deny. It says deny yourself, pick up your cross. That word deny is apodiamai. It means abandon completely, divorce, 100%. Never again even to be brought to mind. Boom. That's a summary command. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross. You know that you're dead in every dimension. You died with him on the cross.
To me, this is all Pentecost. It's like the seed has been shed. It's in there. It hears, or however you would talk about it. And it rings the bell, starts the fire, or whatever, overrides any mental or fleshly resistance.
No, it doesn't, Gary. It doesn't override it. You have to know that everything about your mind and everything about your emotions are empty, vain, and fruitless. But his humility is so great, he cannot occupy where you are.
Well, who are you talking to? When you say, I have to know. You're talking to my mind, you're talking to my intellect, you're talking to...
Well, there's no difference, supposedly. Hopefully, there's no... If you return to self in any way, then you've got to, then the only response is abandonment or repentance. I don't know. You're thinking there's two again. There isn't two, there's only one.
Then who are you talking to when you talk to me?
I'm talking to you as a vessel of the mystery of God.
It contains Christ. Christ hears, and it happens. It's not anything I do.
But if you're there, he isn't.
But I'm dead.
But you resurrect yourself. And if you're there and you try to deal with something, then he takes the lowest seat. And he has to let you fail again. Until there's no more two, there's only one. Well, then who would I not be talking to then?
Well, I hope you know you're talking to Christ in me at all times.
Yeah, but there's no, you've got the mind of Christ. You're gone. There's no two anymore. It's you, Gary. If I'm just talking to Christ, that's kind of silly. There's no, Christ doesn't need to abandon. Christ doesn't need to, Christ is the way. But if we've allowed us to return, then the only response is seeing that you don't just We're back at this place. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, 6. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be, it says evil here, but it's really double. If thine eye be double, thy whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. Now, that's a mind-bending couple of verses. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. If thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. If thine eye be double, the whole body is full of darkness, and even the light that is in you is gross darkness. Who's he talking to?
An abandoned disciple who thinks he...
Well, he's just talking to a disciple.
But he's created some duality.
He's created an opportunity for repentance. Right, but then if you go on a couple more feet and you all of a sudden you're looking at, it's become two again, then your whole body is full of darkness.
Then maybe you never understood in the first place. Would that be the case? That's why I'm saying this understanding is a big deal. To just say abandon yourself doesn't get down to the depth of
I don't know how it can get any further down.
Yeah.
That means take absolutely no thought of or about or for yourself. You are gone. Well, who then am I talking to? This is why Paul said this is a great mystery. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the ground. If perchance something causes me to return to self again, then I've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. And the only response is repentance again. And so the question is, who are you talking to all the time? You're talking to someone who has as the basis of his life seen that he has the mind of Christ, that he's totally and completely emptied himself from every thought. That's who he's talking to. And that person is always, it's Gary, it's Christ, but it's in Gary form. And so there's no, you can't be two here, ever. But by the same token, then, if you continue, if what you do on your walk, on your daily life, if you return to the lust of the flesh, or wanting something to be different, then that's not Christ that did it. You've resurrected yourself. This is the whole mystery of godliness. But it's not. It's to me, it's simple. There's a bright, shining light that whenever, there's no question that when I start, when anything that I start to be concerned about or that I start thinking about, or it's my prayer isn't even a prayer then, is Father, forgive me. And then the blood of Christ has cleansed me from that unrighteousness, and I continue. But the continuance for his disciples should be the default position. The abandonment is, I can't believe I'm talking in computer crap. It's the default position. The rarity is when you start, if you think of yourself. If you're back here, then you're still, the rarity is if you visit eternity. And so then you've got to, it's just duality continues until you're talking to one.
Separation's gone, it's not even an issue.
Right. Christ is in me, I in Christ, and both in God.
And right in that mystery is faith. Because you don't, there's none of this happens without faith. It's impossible because it's a mystery.
But if you return to cause and effect, then right. you've returned to the whore.
Right, because you don't you can't deal with the faith of it. You've got to
you can't wait.
Flesh it out. Yeah.
It's always about waiting.
Yeah.
And waiting is everybody says, well, I'm just my type of I'm the kind of personality that just can't wait. Well, so is everybody else. There's just common, ordinary flesh.
At times it's like, it's as if the light comes on, that spiritual light in my life, and that's in itself, that's beautiful, but then it's, is darkness going to reappear, or will there be the walk in the light?
It's all dependent on whether or not you return to self or not.
Because often, something.
If you return to self, if something gets your attention, then you've lost.
And it's so easy to stray from that path of light.
One scripture talks about where, to God, the light and the darkness is the same. It's not like he's moved by darkness.
Remember, again, a disciple is defined. Chiz, are you here? You're doing something else, and it's bugging me.
A disciple is defined. You're not the real Chiz.
Yeah, I know, but you're not here. You're looking things up. You're doing something else besides being here.
I'm working with you.
You are they that continue with me in my temptation. His temptation, though he was in the form of God, he had total and complete authority and power over everything. Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself completely, so that there was no separation, and that emptiness was defined and certified, sealed in his baptism. And from then on, his disciples were they that continued with him in his test. The only test that he had was to lean on his own arm of understanding to solve anything. It doesn't matter whether you're me, whatever it is I do, or you're out there doing the world stuff. If you continue with him in his test, in his temptation, you will not ever lean on your own arm of understanding, no matter how much you rationalize it in your mind. You will wait on him in everything. Now that has potentially disastrous issues. You may lose everything. Here I am. I lost everything. You may not. Some of the disciples didn't lose everything. But whatever it is, you have to say in your inner man, in your being, that I'll never again lean on my own arm of understanding for any reason and for any purpose. Now that's a disciple.
That bothers me.
Well, it's...
Because it sounds like a vow that you're not going to keep.
No, you're just not going to let the evil one sway. You're not going to let the evil one rule. That's a position. It's a what is. It isn't a how to.
Yeah.
You understand? Well, that's what it means. His only test, his only temptation was to lean on his own arm of understanding to solve anything. To finally, to just for a split second in time, to have his eyes turned on benefiting man instead of the will of God. Not my will, but thine. That was his continuum after the baptism. This is why this baptism this weekend is so important. Because once you're baptized, then you have sealed the death of you. If you've gotten baptized before, you might have just gotten wet. But if baptism is the burial of everything that makes you, you. We'll again do this thing where the same as John's baptism, where you'll cross over to the other side, symbolizing that you're moving over here to a place that is outside the kingdom of God, because you're confessing to the Father that I am not worthy to be in the kingdom. And you're called forth one at a time. And you assume the fetal position under the water. And you feel the weight of the water, the sin, and the cares of the world, and all that. You feel it. You feel your loss of breath. And you see the light shining through the water. It's just, and God moved over the face of the waters, just as he did at the beginning. And said, let there be light. And there was light. And as you come up, you remain down there. He alone is resurrected. That's the meaning of baptism. And that's the issue, that flesh is never again to be tested. It has absolutely, you have absolutely nothing to do with the world system from that point on. Now we have this woman that I told you about before that was preaching, that she never heard, but she was preaching to Nick. She's coming to baptism. And it's like God made her of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord.
That police woman?
Yeah. But please, 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 please. This is why the baptism is so important. And don't, if you're not ready for it, it's fine. If you're not ready to say, I have to lean on my own arm of understanding for a while.
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
That would be fine. You're still covered. You're still where you are. And you've seen you know you have an inheritance. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31 again.
But you're still examining the land.
I don't think it's Deuteronomy 31, but I gotta find it. I only know how to find something by where it is on the page. Not 31. Oh, this is somebody sing a song while I find it. It's Deuteronomy 26. Everybody there? Deuteronomy 26.
31.
Deuteronomy chapter 26. Go there. I want you to read this. And it shall be, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it and dwelleth it. Now again, the issue is, just about every believer knows that they have an inheritance. I mean, it's all through the Bible. I don't care what kind of believer you are, Baptist, blah, blah, blah. You have an inheritance or something there. A few have possessed it. They know for certain that it was taken possession. But a very, very, very small few dwell in it. 24 hours a day, you never leave. So you have an inheritance, you possess it, but do you dwell in it? And that's the mystery. It's all right if you don't dwell in it, for whatever reason, but you've got to be honest. You're not ready for baptism. That's an honest statement. That's all God wants from you. It goes on.
So our inheritance is His eternal life in us through our death.
And the New Jerusalem. And all the joy and treasures, you own all things, everything exists for your sake.
And it's real simple.
Real simple.
To choose light in the darkness.
Amen. In verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. In verse 5, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian, the word Syrian just means a wanderer ready to perish was my father and me. We went down into the world and sojourned there with a few. But are you ready? Are you still trying to get to the land of Goshen? Then you're just still a believer, still in the world, still trying to get to the best of the best. That's what the land of Goshen is. That's fine. If that's where you are. And some are just confused. They're wandering around in the wilderness. And that's fine too. But be honest. Some are still at the foot of the Mount Sinai, still trying to comprehend or understand the law. I'm still thinking in terms of how to and what do I do about this and what I do about that. And that's fine. Some have gone all the way to Kadesh Barnea and they think they're in the Promised Land. The Jews spent 39 years in Kadesh Barnea until they were shed of all the grave clothes of the world and religion. A few are in the Promised Land. They know they have the inheritance. They're dwelling in the Promised Land. A very few are in Jerusalem and living there, knowing there. And still yet fewer are sitting on the mercy seat. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to worry about it. They know that they know that they know. And that's just the trek that all men make. And it's not a trek of learning, it's a trek of unlearning everything until you come before Him as a child without self-awareness. That's the gospel. But salvation is the merest beginning of that mystery. But it's the most exciting trip there is in the world. There's nothing to compare with it. But don't be a con man in this. Be honest. I don't care if you've been here forever. If you be honest about where you are. You can't try to do it. It's done.
It's what is really is.
Amen? He that has begun a good work in you will finish it. My only function here is I'm like a spy. I've gone and seen the promise. I know the inheritance. I know it. I live there. That's what happened to me on that conversion experience. I could have been gone 100,000 years, because there's no time where I was. And nothing. Nobody believes me, but I have learned nothing since that day about the mystery of God. I've learned that every word of the Bible confirms it. I've learned that I can never teach you anything you don't already know. But please, don't ever act. Just be honest. That's the rarest thing in the universe. Amen? What? John, are you okay? Yes? Gary, you okay?
Yeah, good, Pete, you good?
Just except you smashed him in the mouth.
I know, it was close.
No, you thought about it, so you did it. Take it, big guy.